Afternoon, everybody. Good to see you. Yeah, we're starting off in Romans today. Interesting, it's going to be a good time together. But before we kick in, I'm just going to do a little something. And so I need a volunteer, if that's all right. Graham Essex, thank you very much for volunteering. He didn't actually put his hand up, but he's volunteered anyway. Come on up. Good to see you. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that we don't normally do in church, all right? So it's going to be nothing out of the ordinary, seeing you so kindly volunteered. So what I'm going to ask you to do, please, is Ben's guitar's just there on the stand. We sang Forever God is Faithful, Forever God is Strong. Can you just, I don't know if this mic is going to be all right for you, but we can change that if it needs to. But if you could just come up and lead us in that chorus, that'd be good, wouldn't it? If Graham does that for us, so if you can crack on, please, that'd be good. Oh, okay. Okay. What, so you're not going to? Oh.
Just thinking about everyone else.
Thinking about everyone else. Okay. All right. All right, we'll have a seat again, Graham. Thanks anyway. Yeah, thanks for Graham. Yeah. So Ben, Bob, maybe, if Bob's around as well. Do you guys, one or either of you, do you want to just lead us in that then? Seeing that Graham wasn't able to. Backfired a bit. But should we just sing that chorus then? So, Forever God is Faithful. Should we stand up and we'll just sing that through once together? That'd be good. Thank you.
It's very high. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever.
Thank you very much. Excellent. A little round of applause for Ben and Bob. Thank you. Yeah, do take your seats. Now, you probably thought I was being really unkind to Graham there. I did ask his permission beforehand, and I said it would involve coming up here and me asking you to do something you really don't want to do, and you'll probably look a bit awkward, but it's okay to say no. Okay, so just in case you thought, that was really unkind, Andy. I did warn him, and he did agree. So why didn't Graham want to do what I asked him to do, to lead us through that chorus of Forever? Any reasons why Graham might not want to? Can't play guitar. Okay, yeah, that might be a good... Can you play guitar, Graham? In the 80s, you need three chords. Okay, well, that's a yes then, but you play most worship songs with three chords. So G, C, and D, and you're away. You can do most things. Any other reason? So he doesn't know how to play guitar potentially? Anything else? Sorry? Can he sing? Okay. Can you sing, Graham? Debbie, can he sing? No? Okay. Yeah, okay. So potentially lack the skill to play the guitar and sing. Any other reasons why he may not want? Confidence? Yeah, okay. Confidence. Doesn't know the chords, yeah, okay, so kind of lack of knowledge and skill, yeah, that kind of stuff. Any other reasons? Didn't want to like a prat, yeah, maybe that. Yeah, okay, someone else, unfamiliarity, yeah. Another one I thought of was, I didn't give him any time to prepare. Yeah, I didn't say what I was going to ask him to do beforehand to kind of catch his reaction a little bit. But he had no time to prepare either. So those are the things I came up with, and why I use that little illustration was sometimes we're asked to do things and we lack the skill. You know, it doesn't mean we're unskilled, it just means we're better at some things than others. And for Graham, maybe his skill level isn't particularly with guitar and singing, potentially. Lacking the confidence, so to do that in front of a number of people is quite a big thing, yeah? The experience, if you haven't done that often, or we haven't done it for a while, then the experience is a big thing, isn't it? We lean into our experience when we do things. And then finally, prepared. He wasn't prepared at all. I gave him no time to prepare. Where in contrast, Ben and Bob, they'd prepared during the week. They decided what songs they were going to do. They'd rehearsed with the band beforehand. They'd already sung that song earlier this afternoon in our time of worship. They're confident. They do it all the time. They're experienced. They've got the skills. It's what they do. It's one of their strengths. And so for them, it's much easier than it would be for Graham, particularly being put on the spot. Today, we're starting a series looking at the book of Romans. The title of this message is The Gospel, How Can We Become Confident in Our Faith? This whole series, it's written by the Bible Society to take us through the book of Romans, and we're going to follow the plan that the Bible Society have made available, so we're grateful to them. But to quote from their aim for the series, for churches that do it, it says it's about gaining the confidence to proclaim the message of the gospel more clearly. That's the aim of the Bible Society in this book, or this series, sorry, about the book of Romans. And so when we think about the gospel, when we think about becoming more confident in our faith, sometimes we can think, you know what, we lack the skills, we lack the confidence, we lack the experience, and we don't feel prepared. So easily we can feel like that. And it's understandable in our society today to be confident in the gospel, to be confident about sharing your faith with other people. It's just not quite where our society's at. But yet there's a call of God on his church to be confident in the gospel. And so I'm going to introduce this series today. And then we're going to go through and look at a number of different themes. So it's the gospel, there's the theme of sin and salvation, peace, freedom, hope, mystery, devotion, community, mission. There's loads of incredible things to bring out from this book of Romans. And I'm starting today with the gospel. So this book of Romans, it's written by a man called Paul, used to be called Saul. And he's often called the Apostle Paul. He had this gift of being an apostle. He had this incredible conversion moment you can read about in Acts chapter 9. I'm not going to talk a lot about it today, because only a couple of weeks ago I spoke about the Apostle Paul in our series on the kind of church we want to be. I was talking about being an apostolic church, and we're looking at the Apostle Paul. And so if you want to know more about Paul's conversion story and who he was, then I'd suggest you get on the website or on our social media and have a look at that message from just 2 or 3 weeks ago that will tell you a bit more about the Apostle Paul and his conversion. But he had this amazing conversion when he met Jesus. And he then writes later this letter to the church in Rome. And it's a church that finds itself in a difficult place. They're facing a number of difficulties. They're facing persecution. But yet Paul's key message is, despite your difficulties, despite the persecution that you're facing, you can still be confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever's going on, you can be confident in the gospel. So we're going to read it then. There's Bibles in front of you, hopefully on the chairs in front, if you want to use a proper Bible, or you may have bought, or not yet. That's a little bit later. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. Sorry, Becky. But we're going to read from Romans chapter 1. And yeah, so if you've got a tablet or a phone, or if you want to use a proper Bible, that's fine. But we'll start right at the beginning of the letter. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 17. And it says this. By the way, when someone wrote a letter in kind of New Testament times, they'd often put their name first to say who it was that wrote it. So literally the first word of this letter is Paul. And it's there because Paul's identifying himself as the writer of this letter. So this is what it says, Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith has been reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit by preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have among the other Gentiles. I'm obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The key verse for this message is verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Incredible words. Just want to bring out some things quickly from that passage. Number one, the gospel is about Jesus. The gospel is all about Jesus. Paul introduces right at the beginning of this letter to the Romans, he says, the gospel of God regarding his Son. The gospel belongs to God and it's regarding Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what the gospel is. It centers around Jesus. It's all about him. Saying Jesus was appointed the Son of God in power through his resurrection from the dead. Because the resurrection proves the gospel. This gospel is all about Jesus, and his resurrection from the dead proves it. Proves the power of this gospel, proves who Jesus is. Amen? Interestingly, Scripture warns us that false prophets will be around. You can read about it in 1 John chapter 2. It warns us that false prophets will be around and will try and preach a different gospel. And how do we know that someone's a false prophet? It's because it's not all about Jesus. That's how we know. That's what John says to be aware of, be on the lookout for. Because the gospel centers around Jesus, it's all about him. Thinking about that, in another letter that Paul wrote, this time to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, so the same man, Paul, verses 1 to 8, it says this, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received and passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Paul talking about that amazing conversion experience he had when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So Paul's been really clear that this, I think that this gospel that he's talking about centers around the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And I really believe that to be true. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe, is at the center of this gospel message that we carry. It's the center point of our faith. It's what we've just celebrated at Easter. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done for us. But it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about his rule and reign coming to earth as well. It's why Jesus calls us to repent and to believe. When we encounter Jesus, we're called to change the way we live, to follow him. It's not just about praying a prayer and getting on with life as we did before. We have the privilege, when we encounter this gospel, to live for him and to change our lives so it aligns with what Jesus wants, not what we want. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do. That's how we live, as the guys led us in so well earlier. The kingdom of God, I believe, is also about the hungry being fed. It's also about the naked being clothed. It's also about the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, all these people being cared for in our midst. But the message of the cross and of the empty tomb is right at the center. So the gospel is about Jesus. Number two, the gospel needs proclaiming. Paul preached and proclaimed the gospel. I think it's possible for us to demonstrate the gospel as well in the way that we live. But I do think, as the church in the West today, I think we've lost a lot of our confidence and our boldness in actually proclaiming the gospel, in actually preaching the gospel. Later on in the book of Romans, in Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. In this same letter we're looking at, but chapter 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. People need to hear the word of God. People need to hear the message of the gospel, the word of God, in order to believe. It's not just about us trying to do good things and hope that people will somehow believe. They might be drawn to us. They might ask why we do these good things. But it is about them hearing, some way or the other, I believe, the gospel which centers around the cross and the resurrection. I remember, and I think I've shared this story before, but I remember out with a lady called Ginny, who goes to St. Mary's in Overton, who's really caught a passion to share the gospel. We were out a few months ago just sharing with people, and we found these two young men who, on the outside, just looked like they weren't just not going to be interested. Hoodies up, smoking cigarettes, looking quite rough, purely judgmental on my part. But yet we were just having a conversation about how we need to be bold, how we can't pre-select people. And so we said, let's go for it. Let's share the gospel. And we did. And this one chap, who's a boxer, just as we shared the message of the cross and the empty tomb with him, just tears started to come down his cheeks. By the time we'd finished, he was weeping as the Holy Spirit was just moving in his heart. Because the gospel is the power of God. The good news about Jesus is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. That's what Paul's saying. There's a chap who I've shared with a few times at the swimming pool. I spend a lot of time at the swimming pool. There's a chap who over the last number of months, I've shared with a few times, shared the gospel, shared about faith with him. And just last Sunday, he came up to me, and I didn't initiate anything. He just came to me, and he said, and he started talking about the faith and asking more questions. And I went out, and immediately after I'd stopped chatting to him, I immediately wrote down what he said, because I thought it was so powerful. He said this: I had this feeling today that Jesus was real, and that the pain he went through when he died has something to do with the pain that we go through. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? Just revelation that the Holy Spirit brings people. That blessed me when he said that. See where that goes. Faith comes by hearing. There's a few of us that do Discovery Bible Study with people. There's different groups that are running or have run in the church that use the Discovery Bible Study model. It's excellent for people who are exploring faith. That's what it was designed for people who are exploring faith. But I think it's good for anyone. And there was a chap that Andy Neil and I met a few weeks ago on the street. We actually hadn't been out for a while. And the weather's been awful, as we all know. And a few times we tried to go out and we just got drenched. And so we were feeling a little bit discouraged, to be honest. But this one time we went out and it stopped raining for about 10 minutes. And we took the opportunity to get out. And we approached this one guy sat on a park bench, the first person we've spoken to in a long time. And there was immediately an openness. Andy shared something of the story. I think I followed up a little bit more. But we shared with him. He was open. We ended up spending about an hour and a half with him over something to eat, just doing the first in the series of the Discovery Bible Study sessions with him. And he sent me a text afterwards just thanking me, saying that was just amazing. We'd arranged to meet the next week, but he didn't show up. So we were feeling a little bit discouraged by that, thinking, wow, it was so good. It was just like, we felt like God was really doing something with this guy. And I had his phone number, and I texted him. I didn't hear back for a little bit. And so we were feeling a bit like, oh, really wanted that to go somewhere. And then on Thursday, just gone, he texted me and said, I'm really sorry I was ill that week, and I've just been really rubbish, but I really want to meet again. And so we met that day, last Thursday, and just did the next in the series of Discovery Bible Study with him. Had an amazing conversation just about what God's doing in his life. And he's keen to carry on. And you can see as he's hearing the word of God that faith is beginning to rise in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. In this passage in Romans 1 that we've been looking at, Paul says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son. And then a little bit later on, that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Preaching, preach, proclaim. It needs to be shared with other people. So the gospel's about Jesus, the gospel needs proclaiming, and finally the gospel's for everyone. Paul said in this passage again in Romans 1, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles, not just a few of the Gentiles, not just some of the Gentiles, but all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. A few weeks ago, we looked at Acts 19, where Paul and his disciples in Ephesus shared the word of the Lord with every resident in the province of Asia. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The gospel's for everyone. We're here in Basingstoke, and I believe we've got a responsibility, along with all the other churches, of saying, how can we see that everyone, all the residents of Basingstoke, get to hear the word of the Lord? This gospel, this good news, is salvation for those who believe when they put their trust in Jesus. And it's for everyone to hear. Paul sees himself as a slave of Christ. He says he's under obligation to share the gospel, of which he's not ashamed. Are we like that? If there's areas we think we might be able to improve on, I know I can, then I want to become confident in the gospel, like Paul was. So we looked earlier at some barriers that there might be for us sharing the gospel. A lack of skill, lack of confidence, lack of experience, and lack of preparation. If we could just have that last slide, please, Becky, that'd be great. So if we think about skills, let me encourage you to learn a skill in how to, or learn the skill of how to share the gospel with people. There's different ways you can do that. Andy and I and others use something called the three circles, which we really enjoy, and it seems to work really well. If you want to learn how to use the three circles, come and chat to Andy, come and chat to me. Claire Freeman as well comes out with us regularly and uses the three circles. So if you want to know about that, ask us. We'll happily show you how to do that. There's other models, other ways of sharing it. There's the bridge analogy. There's others. Have a look at some different ways of sharing the gospel. Make your own one up. As long as it's biblical, God will use it. But learn the skills. If you're feeling like, I don't have the skill, I don't know what to do, then maybe just challenge yourself to learn that skill of sharing the gospel. Confidence. You know, small steps lead to bigger steps. And it's the same with sharing the gospel. If you want to do it, then why not find someone who's used to doing it, who is confident at doing it, and say, look, can I just tag along? I'm not confident. I don't think I'm ready yet, but can I just come with you and have a go? Or just even observe for a while and then maybe have a go. Then you could say after a while, I want to give it a go. Could you be with me now? And I'll try and you support me. That's a good way of doing it. But how could you get more confident in sharing the gospel? You know, we learn from our mistakes. And so feel free to make mistakes. That's fine. That's how we learn. Experience. You only get experience if you have the confidence to give something a go. So how could you gain experience in sharing the gospel with people? Could you step out and give it a go? Could you get alongside someone else? You know, we gain experience when we try and then we evaluate how it's gone. And then we think, oh, how could we improve? And then we give it another go. And slowly, slowly, step by step, we just get more proficient at doing it. So maybe try and gain some experience if you want to give this a go. And preparation. Be prepared. Don't be caught out in the moment and think, oh, I don't know what to say. You know, really good thing to do is to be prepared and be ready. And so if you've got a gospel message, why don't you practice it with one another in your small groups, with your family, with your friends? Maybe say, look, I want to practice that. Can you just hear me and give me some feedback? But be prepared. Try it on someone you know and trust before trying it on someone else that is maybe a bit more of a risk. Pete and Marion Hay, who lead Community Church Tadley, asked me to come out and do a bit of training with them one Sunday morning. And I was showing them the three circles, the whole church. And I said, look, why don't you have a go right now? In twos and threes, why don't you have a go and just practice so then you're ready in order to be able to share the gospel when you get a chance? And so they got in twos and threes and started sharing it. And I heard afterwards that someone had come to faith there and then, who had visited the church that day and had heard that gospel message with someone practicing it on them. And they came to faith. Isn't that amazing? So you never know. Someone might even come to faith through sharing the gospel when you're actually trying to prepare and you don't realize the Holy Spirit's still at work. So the gospel is all about Jesus. The gospel needs proclaiming. The gospel's for everyone. And the challenge really is, I think, as we go through the book of Romans, is to start thinking, could we be a people who are not ashamed of this gospel? Despite our society, despite some of the obstacles, could we be a church? Could we be a people who are saying, you know what, despite difficulty, despite all the things that are happening, I want to be confident in this gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Thank you.